Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
And hey, I want to talk for a few minutes on the idea of guarded. And we all guarded. I think we're all guarded. We all have lived life long enough to get hurt. We've lived life long enough to get wounded. We've gone through enough. Honestly, if you got through puberty, you probably got hurt. Friends that are 12, that's a dangerous group. Them middle schoolers are dangerous. You be getting strays all the time, getting hurt. Maybe you got hurt you picked up a wound in some friends groups in middle school or in high school, and you're 60 today, but you're still engaging with friendships from the wounds of school. Maybe you're in your second or your third marriage and you didn't know Jesus in the first one or the second one, and you're trying to live this thing out in a healthy way, but you're still carrying scars that you got from the first marriage. Or maybe you went through 5 or 6 or 100 people, you hit that dating scene and you picked up scars that you're now trying to hide and ignore. And man, so many of us just through life pick up wounds and pains and fears. And the problem though is many of us don't heal correctly, so we learn to walk with a limp. Many of us didn't heal right, so we're hiding our failures and we're hiding our scars and we're hiding our, and that's human nature. All of us protect what's wounded. If there's a place in your life that's hurt, you protect it. You build a wall around it. You don't want someone to get to that. If you got a fear of failure, you don't want no one to criticize you if you messed up. If you got pride issues, you don't want no one to know that there's real deep-seated insecurities in your life. So you puff yourself up and you get strong and over. Why? Because you're trying to guard the thing that would hurt the most. All of us have things that we're trying to guard. The struggle is many of us have guarded ourselves through fear, not wisdom. See, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the life flows. So guard your heart, because out of it flows life. And so the Bible tries to teach that through wisdom, you have a guard. But many of us have not used wisdom. We've used fear to build the walls in our lives. And so we wall ourselves off from relationships that could hurt us. And we wall ourselves off from parents that could hurt us. And we wall ourselves off from bosses and from coaches and from, and we keep building these walls. The problem is at some point in life, you realize that that wall became a prison that you're hiding in. So we live guarded because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get cut. We don't want to be abandoned. And I get it. None of us want to be hurt again. None of us want to be abandoned. But that guardedness, that fear of people is impacting your relationships, your friendships, your marriage, your parenting. Some of us are still carrying wounds from our parent. And so we've actually brought those wounds into our parenting, and we're parenting from fear of a parent. Tell me what's worse than your parent that hurts you influencing how you parent. I meet people all the time that say, yeah, my parent drugged me to church, so I'll never make my kids go to church. Wait, so because your parent was unhealthy, you're parenting in an unhealthy way now? So what you're doing to your kids is all from the influence of what hurt you. Am I talking to anyone or am I just talking to myself today? And so a lot of us are guarded, but it's not through wisdom, it's through fear. But fear is not going to produce the life God wants you to live. Fear is not going to let you live in freedom. Fear is going to let you live in abundance. Fear will never let you live in trust. It won't let you live in hope. It'll always create the be on guard because they're going to leave you. Be on guard because they're going to bet you. Be on guard because the rug's going to get pulled out. Be on guard because it's going to get bad. As opposed to living with wisdom and allowing your life to grow, as the Bible says, from glory to glory, not from wall to wall. God doesn't want you building bigger walls. He wants you walking in more glory. but you'll never get there through fear. See, you can't get to the life God has for you walking on the road of fear. You can't build what God wants you to build when the blocks are built out of fear. You can't develop the life God wants you to develop when the material you're using is fear-based. All of us are guarded, but we got to get healthy. So what is it going to take for us to get rid of the limp? What is it going to take for us to get those wounds that we're hiding from so many people out in the open so that we can be healed, so that we can live with freedom, so that we can live the life God's called us to live? You see, in Ephesians, let me start here. This is the first thing we got to do to live in wisdom, to live the life God's called us to, not to live a guarded, fearful, wounded life where we're walking with a limp everywhere we go. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. According to the purpose of his will. This isn't in my notes today, but this is a freebie. When the next time you ask, what is the purpose of God for my life? It's right there. It's to be a son and a daughter. It's right there. Man, what's the purpose of God? What's my purpose? To be his son, to be his daughter. When he had you, he didn't have you to have an architect or a teacher or a plumber. He had you to be a son. See, I have three kids, and I did not have three kids to have a doctor, a lawyer. And no, I had three kids to have children. There's a difference. The difference is the relationship. The relationship is the core, not the product. See, it's not what can you do, it's who you are. And until you get to shifting your life from who I am is the point, not what I do. Am I getting too personal yet? See, in the world today, it's all, when you meet someone, oh, what do you do? What do you do? See, what you do starts to define who you are. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you know? Where'd you go? To college? No. God is much more concerned with who you are. And once you know who you are, what you do is a byproduct of your identity. But if you allow what you do to identify you, you'll always be broken at your core. So God says, the verse right before this says, before the foundation of the world, he predestined for you to be a son and daughter. Now, this just says son. It's a neutral term. I mean, sons and daughters. So he's talking to all of us. Church, this is so big. Before the foundation of the world, before God spoke light, before he made a tree, before Adam and Eve ever showed up in the garden, he predestined you to be his daughter. This is not a plan B because Adam messed up. God is not like, oh my goodness, what should I do? That really spun out of control real quick. No, before the foundation of the world, he predestined you to be you, to be a son, to be a daughter. And catch this, if you don't allow God to identify you, the question is then who or what is identifying you? If God doesn't get to identify who you are, if your identity isn't I'm a son of God, that is who I am. See, that needs to be the foundation or the anchor of your life. Everything of your life flows out of your identity. I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, and from that revelation, from that truth, from that fundamental core belief that I am his son, now everything can flow out of me. But if you don't have that, then you'll have to look out outwardly to define an identity for you that then produces who and what you are. There's an issue with that though, because once you look out to find identity, the devil knows what to attack to break you. Let me just break this down. If you find your identity in what you do, then the devil has to attack what you do to break who you are. So if you find identity in your career, all the devil has to do is get you fired. And all of a sudden, he's broken your identity. If you find your identity in your relationships, he'll just get you to sleep around enough until you feel worthless. If you find your identity in money, he has taxed that. If you find your identity in education, he'll attack that. See, whatever you find your identity in, there's always going to be something that can break that. There will always be an enemy bigger than the identity you use unless the identity you identify with is a son and a daughter of God, because good luck fighting that. The devil can't beat that one. He can't beat you once you're a son of God and a daughter of God. But if your identity is in what you've done, then he just has to fracture what you've done to fracture your identity. Are y'all getting this today? And so many of us today look outwardly to define us, but that's backwards. God never intended for you to look at what you do to define who you are. Identity is supposed to be the core that produces the outflow. In a world today, identities become so fluid. It's how I feel. It's what I think. It's what I'm assuming. You can't even define what identity is half the time anymore because it's just an emotion. No, your emotions should flow out of your core identity. I am a son of God, and because I know who I am, now I know how I can feel. And my thinking produces my feelings, which leads my life. There's a group of people today that identify themselves based off of their sexuality and their sexual preference. That is a part of you, but that's not you. That is so heartbreaking to me. And we fought the wrong battle, church. We fought the action. We're condemning the fruit, but we need to heal the roots. We've allowed a group of people to minimize themselves to their sexuality as who they are. And God is like, oh, son and daughter, you are so much more than just a desire. Could you imagine if I defined myself based off of my desires? Yo, I always desire Mexican food. Does that define me? It's a desire, Russell. I could crush my weight in chips and salsa. I desire chips and salsa. I long for chips and salsa. I crave chips and salsa. Does that define who I am? So you're telling me that my desires shouldn't define me. So why are we allowing people to define themselves based off of their sexual desires? Why are we allowing, I'm going to get a little more real, some of y'all are going to get mad at me. Why are we allowing us to identify ourselves based off of our skin tone? Now, what I didn't say is that that doesn't matter. What I am saying is that's not your core identity. That's a part of who you are, but it doesn't define you entirely. You know what else doesn't define you? Your political leaning. Catch this, follow me. Say with me. Don't get too mad at me. I don't know if I'm canceled or not, or will be canceled. It is what it is. But when I understand that I'm a son and a daughter of God, I'm connected to him. That's my identity. Now everything else flows out of it. We need healthy sons and daughters of God to bring godly morality and beliefs to politics. But politics doesn't define me. I'm defined by God, and I bring that identity to politics. And then I bring that identity to my culture, and I bring that identity to my skin. See, like, I don't get rid. It's not like, oh, I'm not white anymore. No, I'm a son of God and I happen to be white. But my skin tone doesn't define my identity. It's part of me, but it doesn't totally consume me. And too many of us have allowed outside things to define who we are. And if that's your identity, it's too easy for the devil to attack. So if we get our identity from our desires or our education or our money or our job or our career or even from parents, it will break at some point. There is a battle the devil could bring you that breaks your identity if your identity isn't founded on God. So my identity is my foundation. It's my anchor. It says, I am a son of God. Before the foundation of the world, before there was a tree that was ever created, before the sun even existed, God saw me in the future and said, that is my son. That's who I am. And my education doesn't change that. And my money doesn't change that. And my politics don't change that. And my skin color doesn't change that. Nothing changes that. This is who I am. And once I have that, then everything else flows from it. Here's what's happened. Your identity is supposed to be the root system of your life, and then it grows and produces things in your life. Too many of us have allowed the fruit of our tree to define the tree. Oh, well, I have politics, so that must be who I am. Well, I have a sexual preference, it must be who I am. Well, I'm educated, it must be who I am. No, that's the fruit of the core identity that you are a son and a daughter of God. Before the foundation of the world, he adopted you to be his kids. That's your identity. And until you get that in your core, you're going to walk with a limp, because too many of us have gone through life and life hurts. Life is tough. You lose a job. You lose a loved one. A friend betrays you. They lie about you. Politics goes crazy. Economy goes up and down. You lose money. You lose an investment. That's tough. You feel like, I was educated, but I didn't get the job. I was passed over. I was overlooked. I was belittled. I was degraded. All of those things wound and hurt us. But if those things are what define us, then we feel broken. If you find your identity in your success, I got a job, I got a business, I got a career, and then someone gets promoted over you, what does it do to you? Fractures your identity. Even good things, if you feel like, oh man, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm a homeschooler, I love these kids, I'm all in, that is a beautiful thing. However, if that becomes your identity, what happens to you when they move out? See, this is a beautiful thing, but it's not your core identity. It's a part of who you are, but it comes out of your identity. It isn't your identity. It doesn't define you. It flows out of being a daughter of God. And as a daughter of God, I'm a mother that God's called and created. As a father, God uses me. But that doesn't define me entirely. It's part of the tree, but it's not the core. I'm a son of God. That is my identity. And if you're walking in a faulty identity, if you're walking in a broken identity, if you're walking in a lie claiming identity, you're always going to be at the whims of your feelings, your emotions, your successes, your failures. They're all going to have too much say, and they're going to all be turned up too loud and have too much influence in your life. Your mood's going to go up and down. I'm not shocked that we struggle with depression. I'm not shocked that we struggle with anxiety. I'm not shocked that some of us struggle with suicidal thoughts. Why? Because we have allowed the wrong thing to identify us, so we walk in this broken world because we haven't realized that we're a son of God. But once you realize, I'm a son of God, so my job is a good thing, but it doesn't define me. Income is a good thing, it doesn't define me. Education, great, but it doesn't define me. I could have 5 degrees, it doesn't change my worth. I could have no degrees, it still doesn't change my worth. I'm not talking to anyone today. Now this says, you've been adopted in. Now, I want to add some context or clarity to this, because when we read this verse today, we think of adoption the way we think of it today. But adoption then was a lot different. See, when we hear adoption, we think kids. Kids without parents, broken homes, issues. Something created an issue, and this child needs a home. When Paul wrote this verse, he was writing to a Greco-Roman world that saw adoption much, much different. In fact, in that time and culture, most adoptions happened to 20-year-old men, not children. There wasn't much compassion in adoption. It was all about name, notoriety, esteem, value, inheritance, authority, and power. All of it had to do with often a man that didn't have a son to carry on his lineage, his name, his namesake, or his seat in power or authority. And he would go and find a young man that he goes, man, this guy is a person I want to carry my name. I want to give him my inheritance. I want to give him my name. I want to give him my authority. I want to give him my power. I want him to carry on my name. Men would do it even if they had sons, but they saw someone else that had more characteristics that they wanted to value. So they would adopt that son out of a family and into theirs, give them their name, give them their inheritance, give them their authority, and that person would then take the lineage of that man onto the next generation. But catch this, often, well, all the time, you would get rid of the man, would lose his last name, be adopted into a new family. But most of the time, it would also end that old family. Oh, someone's going to get this. So when you were adopted, you took on the new family name, but often that ended the lineage of the family you left. So when God adopted you, he said, I want you to take my name and that old name that carried some generational curses and some brokenness and some debt and some fear, that name, that's gone. We got rid of that lineage. We got rid of that family. Yeah, you could honor your family. You could love your parents, but you're now in my family. And so you carry my blessing and you carry my authority and you carry my power and you carry my inheritance. That old family, that line discontinued and you moved into a new family lineage. Catch this. The other cool thing about this adoption is when you were adopted, you didn't have more rights than a biological child, but you were more secure. And here's why. Because men could disown their own children if something happened in that culture where you can remove them from your family. You would remove them from the inheritance. You would remove them from the family name because of cultural ways they were living. So they would remove them. But an adopted son could legally never be removed from the family. So once you got adopted, you were pretty confident. Like, you literally can never get rid of me. You can never cut me out of the will. You can never cut me out of your authority. You can never cut me out of your name or your power. Everything that comes from you comes to me, and you can't do anything about it. There's more security in my role than a biological son's role. God is wanting you to know that when he adopted you, ain't nothing or nobody can take you away from him. You are his son and his daughter, and no failure, no issue, no struggle, no nothing can get you from him. The only thing that can stop you from living like a son and a daughter is if you believe lies. You're in. The devil can't get you out of the grip of God, but you believing his lies can. If you start to believe the lie that says, I'm actually identified by my sexuality, I'm identified by my success, I'm identified by my failures, I'm identified by my past, I'm identified by my education. If you start believing lies that you identify other than a son and a daughter of God, then all of a sudden you lose that inheritance, that authority, that power. And God said, that's yours forever and no one can remove it except you believing a lie. See, that's why your identity is at the core of everything. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know who you are. And until you do, you will always walk with a limp. And you'll always try to prove yourself. You'll always try to make more money to feel successful. And you'll always try to do more. You'll always try to look better than the next person. And when you don't get the raise, it hits harder. And when you don't get the promotion, it hits harder. And when economy's at an all-time crisis, it affects you more. And fear starts to grow. And depression grows. And anxiety grows. Why? Because you don't know who you are. But when you know your identity, it changes your life. All of a sudden, everything else in life flows out of who you are. Here, go with me to Romans 8:15. Here, let's land on this verse for a minute here. Maybe open your phones, highlight this in your apps, screenshot this, make this your screensaver this week. This is the verse I need y'all to get this week. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Anytime fear shows up, bondage comes with it. If you're living in any amount of fear, you're also living in bondage. But you have received, catch this, the spirit of adoption as sons, or as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba. It's the closest, most endearing term they could use when writing the Bible for the closeness that we have with God. There is no word that says, I am closer to dad than Abba. The spirit of adoption. Here's what I need us to get today, church. I bet most of us believe that we're Christian. Most of us believe that we're sons and daughters of God. But most of us aren't walking or living in the spirit of our sonship. And there's a difference. There is such a difference between living in and acting like a son and legally thinking you are a son. See, you know what I've never done in my life? I've never called my dad's assistant and asked for 15 or 30 minutes of his time to hang out. Never. I've never been like, hey, Kim, is my dad free this week? I just would love to see him. I'd love to just hang out with my dad. You want to know why? Because he's my dad. You know who does have to reach out to the assistant to schedule some time? Everyone else. I'm kidding. I'm not. Why? Because he's my dad. I get to call dad like dad. I'm like, dad, what are you doing right now? Let's go get coffee. What are you doing right now? Let's go do this. Why? Because he's dad. And because he's my dad and I know I'm his son, I get to walk in the spirit of a son. There's a confidence that I have that you don't have around him. There's an assurance that I have that you don't have around him. I could call him in the middle of the night, be like, power went out, can you come help me? Why? Because he's dad. Dad, I need you to help. Let's say someone needed their tire to get changed. let's say hypothetically, I had a sister that needed a tire to get changed. Just hypothetically. And hypothetically, she's like, I probably should call dad. Why did she call dad? And why would it be weird if you called him? Could you imagine if you're like, hey, Pastor Casey, my tire's flat. Would you mind just shooting on over here? Bring some, like a lug wrench too. I don't think I have a... You got a lift in your car? Can we just jack this thing up? Why would it be weird? But because he's not your dad. But when he's dad, we walk in the spirit of being a son, being a daughter. Y'all, do you do this? I do this, and I got to grow from it, I think. But I'm still 40, but I'll call my dad, and if he doesn't answer, I'm like, what? Do you do that to your parents? You're like, did you not answer me? Do you know that your child's calling? And I thought it was funny. And then my daughter, my oldest, my 13-year-old, she's on a trip. So she took a phone with her. And she called me the other day. She called me like 4 times in a row. I was like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, you didn't answer. What's up? I was like, what? Is something wrong? She's like, no. I was just checking in. I was like, why'd you call 4 times simultaneously? He was just like, call, 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 call. And I was like, wait, I do this. I would do that to my dad. I'm like, dad, what are you doing? I will call you until you answer. Why do we do that to our parents? Because we're children and we walk in the spirit of authority. We walk in the spirit of connection. We're like, dad, answer the phone. My daughter then is like, no, dad, I called. You better answer that phone. Like, I called twice. What if something was wrong? I was like, is something wrong? It's like, no, nothing's wrong. But what if, dad, like, my goodness. She's doing to me what I've apparently been doing to my dad. Why? Because she's my daughter. So she has authority. She has access. She's walking in the spirit of a daughter. You know what you need to do the next time you pray? Dad, not God, I hope I'm worthy to be here. I hope I'm okay. Did I pray enough this week? Did I read my... What are you doing? What are we doing? What is that? What is the timid? Why are you timid? Why are you afraid? You know what would break my heart is if I came home, sat on the couch, and my kids were like, can I sit on the couch with you? I cleaned my room. I did my homework. Can I be next? I'm like, what are we doing right now? What is this? There's no worthiness required. There's no deserving required. There's no earning required. In fact, as a parent, sometimes I wouldn't mind a little break. Kidding. But like, they're like, we in. Dad, we wrestling. I'm like, bro, give me 1 minute. Nope, it's now. Boom, knee dries in my... I'm like, dog, I'm just laying down. Just give me half a second. No, knees to the back all the time. It doesn't matter. And then the other little one that I got told, I call my two younger ones the littles. They come like a pair. Levi's like flying in with the knees, and the second I roll over on him, Nora's like elbows, and I'm like, where are you guys doing this from? Give that half a second. They're like, nope, you looked weak. It looked like the right moment to attack. You were laying down. It was all. Why? They do not come into my presence asking if they're worthy enough to be around me. God, Dad, did I do enough to be with you? Did I do enough to pray? Did I do enough to get healed? Did I do enough to get blessed? Did I do enough to be around? So why are we as Christians being like, I got to go to church. I got to read every day. I got all these things just to be. You don't have to do any of it. Just walk into his presence. He's like, come to me. Be with me. Carry the spirit of adoption. See, that spirit of adoption is so vital in our identity. You got to know who you are. You're a son. You're a daughter. So stop walking in timid, nervous, fearful. I don't want to bother you. I have never once in my life been like, Dad, I don't want to bother you. My kids definitely haven't. Never been concerned about the bothering. Y'all saw 2 weeks ago, I had all three of them sit on the, were they in the third service or the second and the first? They were here for, Chris and my wife is a flight attendant, so she was flying on that day, and I had all three kids with me, and no, all the families are gone for some reason. So I was babysitting and preaching, and you all know something? They didn't care. Levi was sitting on the front row holding my phone, being like, eh? Can I? I was like, Dog, I'm busy. He's like, but for real, eh? I was like, Dog, yeah, leave me alone. He's like, so we're good? Are we good? Is it a go? Can I play a game? Yes? Give me the thumbs up, Dad. I was like, Dog, I'm on the stage preaching. He's like, it's a good. Okay, so I'm gonna take that as a thumbs up? Okay, good. They are unbothered. Why? Because they're my kids. And they have they get access in ways that are probably, I'm like, Dog, I'm actually busy right now. I'm trying to preach. I have a lot going on in my head. I'm praying in the back of my mind. I'm interceding. I'm trying to hear God. I'm trying to read the room. I'm trying to get, and he's like, good. But what about this, by the way, Dad? Just pause all of that. And is this a approved game? Can I go with this? I'm going to download a game, by the way. No worries. It's a subscription. Don't worry about it. It's like $100. Like, got it. We're good. He didn't care. And you all know something? I'm glad he didn't. I am so glad that there is such a health between he and I that he feels freedom to come to his father at any time. The last thing I want to do is raise children that are worried or nervous around their dad. And maybe some of us today, maybe some of you in the room grew up with an unhealthy dad or no dad, and you just don't have that authority to walk into his presence. But I'm here to tell you today that you do have a father, that you have access into his presence, and he loves you, and he is for you, and his arms are open so wide. And he said, I know that you didn't get a good example, but let me show you how much I love you. Let you find your shelter in my presence. Let you find your rest in my presence. You can walk into my presence with boldness. Because you are a son and a daughter of God. Because you carry the spirit of adoption. Hey, Ben, could you guys come up on the stage? Help me finish this. If your life, let me read this first before I go there. Luke 9:55. Here, go with me to Luke 9:55. You do not know what spirit you are of. This is a crazy verse to me because it's Jesus talking to his disciples, and in this moment they're like, let's go crazy, let's call fire down from heaven, let's do this, blow people up, let's take authority in the world, let's take dominance, let's overcome Rome. And he's like, y'all don't even know what spirit you're of. Hold up, time out, pause. Do you know the spirit of your life? Is what Jesus is telling them. And I want to ask us that same question today. Do you know the spirit of your life? Because he's saying, walk in the spirit of sonship. Are you? And if you're not, what's the spirit that you are walking in? If you're not walking in the spirit of a son, is it the spirit of fear that you live in? Is it the spirit of pride? Is it the spirit of self-defense? Is it the spirit of self-preservation? What is the spirit? If your life was a movie, what would the soundtrack sound like? What would your life say? If every time you walked in a room, there was like background music. what would it sound like? You walk in a room and like the background's like, wah, wah, wah. What would your life sound like? Because that's the spirit of your life. Is there confidence? Is there freedom? Is there authority? Is there power? Because you know you're a son and a daughter of God. So when you show up, you already have freedom, and thus you have the ability to live free. Because I know who I am in Christ, I don't have to look for myself or find myself. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to establish myself. I don't have to defend myself. I am who I am. And because I am confident in Christ, I can walk into relationships confident. And I can walk into my marriage not needing her to fill my needs, but to know who I am in Christ and bring a whole healthy person into my marriage. I don't have to parent my kids through manipulation or control or guilt or condemnation. I am confident who I am in Christ, and in that freedom, I parent. That's the theme song of my life, that I have freedom in Christ. So I walk in every environment with his confidence. I'm not looking for you to co-sign who I am. I don't need your affirmation in me. I already have his. See, how many people in the world today are struggling with their identity? So if you don't affirm who they say they are, it breaks them. It impacts them. Why? Because they're saying, this is who I am and you have to agree. I don't care who you say I am. He's already said who I am. And because I have received my identity from God, I don't need to look for you to co-sign who or what I am. I already know who I am. And because of that freedom, I engage with the world. That's the spirit of adoption. What's the spirit of your life? When you show up, what was that old song? It's the end of the world as we know it. Are you that person? Every time you show up, everything's just bad. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you see? Did you know? Oh my. You're like, would you shut up? Would you just stop it? Go away. Stop bringing everyone down. But did you see? But oh my God, you're not gonna believe this. You're not gonna believe it. Time out. Chill. What's the theme song? What's the theme music? Is it broken? That old Destiny's Child song, I'm a survivor. That's good for a moment, but are you still living in a survival mode? Man, I made it. Good. I'm so glad that you made it. But now, would you be healthy in your marriage and not living in the past of your brokenness? Would you be a healthy parent today and not defined by the brokenness of the home you grew up in so that your kids cannot be survivors as well? You know, I think as I was praying for us today, the Holy Spirit really said to me that so many of us are attempting and trying and really growing in health in a lot of areas. The problem is we haven't healed a few specific areas of our past. And so it's like giving that pain a spot on the band. And so you're attempting to live a new, healthy, saved life, but you still got one drummer attempting to play the old music from the past you. Maybe you're on your second or your third marriage, and that first marriage, you didn't know Jesus and you weren't saved and it was broken. And you're like, no, I'm married today. I love Jesus. I love my wife. But when she hits your ego or when she hits your pride, that drummer from your past starts playing the old song in your mind, and you freak out and you get angry and you get overbearing and you get controlling. Why? Because the old music keeps kicking on. And you're trying to have healthy relationships today, but all of a sudden they miss an appointment and they show up late for something, or they don't text you on your birthday, and all of a sudden all you could think of is that kid in high school that hurt your feelings. Because you haven't taken the instrument away from your past. You haven't allowed it to heal. So it keeps trying to play the old music in a new you. We got to get all these pains healed. We got to get those limps healed. We got to change the spirit of our life. We got to get those everyone out of the band that's trying to play that old, depressed, anxiety, suicidal, fearful music out of your life so that God can own and create a sound of your life that only flows out of the spirit of adoption. Don't just legally know I'm a Christian and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Be a person that brings his kingdom here and now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I want to live like heaven today. I want to walk in freedom and abundance and hope and peace. And I want to walk in joy. I want to walk in prosperity. I want my life to be overflowing. I don't want my life to be defined by my past or my failures or my fears or my anxieties or my No, those issues don't get a part in the band. They don't get the authority to define the spirit of my life. I will overcome. I will heal. I will walk in hope. I will trust that God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What is the spirit of your life? Jesus said, you don't even know the spirit that you're of. Are you walking in the spirit of a son and a daughter of God?
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.